Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. This is Jim West with Carolina Varsity Radio. And tonight I have Matt Morrow, who is a leading contributor with Carolina Varsity. Matt, how are you doing tonight?
Man, I'm pretty good, Jim. I know we were just saying it's been a long Monday, but, you know, it's a good way to end the night talking about some high school football.
You got that right. I don't know about you. It's like it's almost like Christmas has come along, and, you know, we've got the season coming out here before too long, and it's like you're ready to open up a present that you think it's going to be a real special present. Hopefully it's something you want and not something you don't want, like a ugly loss somewhere. But I want to go ahead and talk a little bit about the 4A tonight. You know, 4A doesn't have as many members this year, Matt, as you know. It's down to 77 teams. What do you think about that? You like having a 20% of the teams being 4A?
Yes. You know, it kind of makes an opportunity for other teams to kind of step up and make a name for themselves. But at the same time, you know, they reduce the playoff amount, which makes sense. So, you know, I think we'll have some of the same names in there. But I think this year especially we're going to have some new teams step up with an opportunity to make a name for themselves.
I totally agree with you. And, you know, the interesting thing about it, as Matt and I were talking offline, just about 80% of our 4A teams are going to be in the greater Mecklenburg area, the Triad, the Triangle, and the Cumberland County area. There's just a few of them that are scattered outside, and that's why we're having to do these 3A, 4A split conferences. And, Matt, I was going to ask you about the Northwestern Conference, the 3A, 4A Northwestern. We've got some pretty good 3A teams, like Watauga and Alexander Central, West Caldwell and Freedom, and we also have a couple of 3A teams that might make some noise, like Hickory and St. Stephen's. But we also have South Caldwell and McDowell. There's just not any really 4A schools that they could go to. I mean, probably the closest 4A school would probably be like maybe Mooresville, or might even have to be over in the Mecklenburg County area. That would be an ugly conference, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be. I tell you, I've been to South Caldwell when I was coaching at Myers Park. And, you know, we had to get on the charter bus. So it doesn't look that far on the map, but, you know, getting there, you know, you go up 321 like you're going to Hickory. So, you know, it's a little bit of a ride. So you kind of have to move them in there.
It's been a while since I've been there. You know, South Caldwell, a couple years ago, they had a pretty decent team. Last year they struggled. McDowell seems to be struggling with numbers all the time. I think McDowell actually made the playoffs last year, but do you see either one of these teams making much noise in the 4A this year?
You know, I'll tell you, with South Caldwell, they made a hire, and they tried to go to a spread offense, and, you know, it doesn't really fit, you know, the kind of kids you get there. So they brought in a coach back from when they had all that success and were, you know, really winning double-digit games and making noise in the playoffs. I think they're a dark horse because once they get back to what they know, you know, the kids will be a lot more confident. You know, the fans will support that. And I think that they got it going back in the right direction. McDowell's always kind of struggled. Even though they're 4A, they don't typically get the kind of athletes you need to compete on a consistent basis at the 4A level. I did see they're kind of trying to go to a power spread this year, you know, kind of spread, run the ball with power concepts. You know, I think that's the way you need to go if you're them, try to shorten the game. Kind of like, you know, you look at East Met, kind of their philosophy with shortening the game and, you know, playing conservative, that kind of thing. Is it going to work for them? Not really sure, but, you know, you got to, you know, try some different things sometimes and hopefully they'll be successful with it.
Right. I totally agree with you. This is Jim West, and with me is Matt Morrow, and we're with Carolina Varsity. And I'm going to go across the state, and we're going to go to the 3A, 4A Eastern Carolina Conference. There's only two teams that are 4A this year in this conference, New Bern and South Central. As we know, that Conley and Rose dropped down from 4A to 3A. I'm not thinking South Central is going to be much this year. I think their offense is going to be all right, but they're going to allow a lot of points. Team I'm interested in is New Bern. You know, they went to a couple of state championships from about 2007 all the way through, I think it was 2014 when they beat Catholic in the 4A state championship. You got any feel for New Bern this year?
You know, we've had some New Bern people on the site in the past, and you know, they're very loyal and they're, you know, very confident in their team. And you look at that conference, you look at the 3A teams, I kind of like the 3A teams better than the 4A teams, to be honest with you. But, you know, New Bern always has talent there. And you can't count them out. You know, you got tradition, you got a little talent, you know, you're going to have some support behind you. You know, hopefully they can put it together and make a run at the title. But, you know, you look at those 3A teams, those are a couple strong 3A teams in that group. I like them a little better to win that more so than New Bern right now.
I agree. I think Conley's probably the favorite. Fred and I were talking about this last night. I think it was either last year or the year before. Conley gave up 68 points or something like that and still won a game. I think it was Rose Conley. It was like 78-68. That's one of those games where you have your roller skates on. I'm sure you remember that score, but it was crazy. Now we're going to go to the 3A, 4A Mid-Eastern Conference. This is another conference where we have New Hanover, which was 4A, now they're 3A. They join West Brunswick, South Brunswick, Topsail, and actually North Brunswick has gone from 2A to 3A. And the only 4A schools we have is Hoggard, Laney, and Ashley. I think Ashley is going to be okay, but I was kind of surprised. I was talking to Fred last night, and he's really big on Laney, and I've heard some good things about Laney. Have you heard, have a feel for Laney this coming year?
Yeah, you know, I've seen the hype on Laney, and, you know, my favorite out of those three is Hoggard. I mean, you got to look at the big picture, and, you know, you look at coaching, and Hoggard has always had, you know, that coaching with Braswell down there and some other guys before him. You know, Laney, I remember Laney having a couple of good years here and there. But a thing throughout 4A is a lot of teams getting preseason hype. And, you know, I think Laney kind of falls into that category. For me, I always kind of believe in if you've done it, then I'm going to put you there, meaning I'm going to rank you a little higher based off of what's been done on the field. I feel the hype with Laney. I know they've got some good players, and they've got good leadership. They have players that have been in the program for a while, but I think you've got to prove it first before you get placed on that pedestal. So I like Hoggard out of those 4A teams the best, then Laney, then Ashley.
I totally agree with you. You know what I did? I think I had my top three was Hoggard, New Hanover, Laney, then I had West Brunswick. I like Hoggard to win that conference. I mean, I'll be honest with you. There's about three or four decent teams that could be really good. And I was talking to Fred yesterday, and I believe he said that Topsail might be the sleeper in this conference. So go figure that out.
It's
going to be interesting, to say the least. Going to our last of our 3A, 4A split conferences, and I'm not a big fan of split conferences. That's why I like to go ahead and talk about them, and so I don't have to worry about missing them out later on. Is the 3A, 4A Patriot Conference, and actually I kind of like this conference. You got six 3A teams, and you got three 4A teams. And, you know, looking at the ADMs, most of these teams are probably within the 400 of each other, probably about the around 1,300 to 1,750 or so. It's size-wise, there's not a lot of difference. I will say I like Cape Fear probably the best of these. But of the 4A teams, we've got Pine Forest, Southview, and Overhills. You know, Matt, of those teams, which teams would you be a little bit nervous about playing if you're maybe coaching from a team that's going to play a little bit over in the playoffs? Which team would give you the biggest scare?
Wow. When you look at those three teams, the only one that really, you know, kind of gives me a second thought is Southview. Pine Forest and Overhills, you know, they've just kind of been, you know, average to decent the past few years. You know, Southview had some good years in the past. I know there's been some coaching changes down there, but if I had to pick one, I'd say Southview. But
Southview.
honestly, I don't feel a scare from a coaching perspective on any of those. I'm with you. I like Cape Fear. You know, anytime you can go into Scotland and knock them off, you know, that's a heck of a deal. And if it got their dual threat quarterback, who's a high-level recruit, JGV, he's a heck of a player. And I really like those 3A teams down there a little bit more, kind of like the other conference the other split conference we talked about. I kind of like the 3A teams a little bit more than the 4A teams overall.
Right. That Eastern Carolina Conference is kind of like the same way with Conley and Rose. It's just hard to, to not pick one of those. You know, Cape Fear, I like them. E.E. Smith, they had a 3-8 season last year. I think they're going to do a lot better. They were a young team last year. I think they'll do fine. Westover's, they had a coaching change, but I think this would be pretty good. I mean, Terry Sanford has, you know, historically been pretty good. They lost some players, but some key players, but I think they're going to be some, you know, going to make some noise. So to me, this is a pretty good conference, you know, overall. And talking about good conferences, probably one of the most, probably one of the conferences that you had some of the biggest rivalries ever is in this new Sand Hills Conference. It used to be the Southeastern Conference. Now it's, I guess you call it the Southeastern Conference plus Jack Britt and 71st. Who do you like, Matt, to win this conference?
Well, you know, the popular pick is Scotland County, and how can you go against them? You know, they got two dynamic running backs. Everyone knows about Zamir White. But they've got another kid that's a legit D1 recruit as well. And, you know, some things open up for White because you're worried about, you know, trying to slow both of those guys down. Behind them, you know, you like Richmond. Of course, they've gone to that more of a spread attack, you know, more so than their traditional, you know, run that they used to be, you know, many years ago. They've got some athletes. I think they've got to shore some things up offensively, execution-wise. Lake Norman kind of surprised some people by beating them in the Jamboree the other night. But I like them second. And then I like Pinecrest behind them. Coach Metzger has done a really good job coming up and over the past few years, turning that program around. They were down for a long time. And now they're a pretty good team you have to be accountable for, and I really respect what they do.
Same here. And I'm a big Metzger fan. I remember, I think it was around 97, 98, Pinecrest almost had to forfeit their season. They didn't have enough warm bodies. And that was a long time ago. And look now, I mean, Pinecrest probably has probably in the top 10 in numbers across the state. So that's a great, great program. Now, how about 71st? What do you see them in this conference?
Well, you look at the other teams, and, you know, you kind of have to put them at fourth. You know, some of those other teams are rebuilding a little bit and struggling. I know some noise has been said about Jack Britt with the coaching change that they've had, but I don't necessarily believe in them just yet. I like 71st, probably one of the better teams in Fayetteville, I would say. But, you know, they've got a tough hill to climb with those three in front of them. But, you know, I like them in fourth. I like them in the middle of the conference here.
Okay. And we're going to play a game of you going to call me sane or if I'm insane. And if you call me insane, that's not going to hurt my feelings. I'm going with five. I'm going with Lumberton. And six, I'm going with Jack Britt. I thought Jack Britt's offense was a little bit stuck in the mud last year. And I think Lumberton might be just a little bit more polished. Am I sane or insane?
No, that's sane. I get that. You know, like I said, Jack Britt has talent. But going back to what I said before, you've got to prove it before you get put on the pedestal a little bit. Now, I know we're not talking, you know, on a high level here, but, you know, Lumberton has a little more stability, and I can go with you on that, most definitely.
Okay. And then, like, follow on with the last two teams, Hoke County and Purnell Sweat, both of them actually have a pretty good history of football. Hoke County used to be a pretty strong program down in Rayford, North Carolina, and Purnell Sweat, you know, they've had some good teams over the years. This is just a hard conference for those two teams to compete. Do you see anything that might give you where they might make a surprise this year?
No, not really. You know, down in that area, you've kind of had some decrease in population, and I think that kind of hurt the kind of athletes those schools were getting. With the newer schools that have come in there, like Jack Britt, for example, they've been there a few more years. And I think that's kind of diluted the talent pool a bit for those traditional schools like Hoke and Purnell. Unfortunately, I don't see them, you know, dimming the top three, at least, in this conference.
I agree with you. I think you hit the nail right on the head with your comments on that. That's very, very astute. I'll be honest with you. I'd love to see these teams come up, and they might come back around, but right now I just don't see it. It takes time to build up a program. I mean, look at Pinecrest. I mean, the Metzger didn't just go off with, you know, guns a-blazing in the beginning. It took a while to build them up, build that program up. This is Jim West, and with me is Matt Morrow. We're with Carolina Varsity, just talking about the 4A football scene. Just really excited about this upcoming week. Starts Thursday night, actually, over at Scotland, over that conference. We just talked about the Sandhills Conference, hosting Mallard Creek. We'll probably talk about that matchup sometime on the Wednesday night show. That's going to be a great show. Should be a sold-out affair, too. We're going to skip over to the Triad Conference, our Triad area. We're going to go to the 4A All-Metro. And, Matt, I'm not a big fan of this conference, and there's only one reason. There's only five teams in it. I like having a conference with a minimum of six teams. What's your feel about that?
Yeah, you know, having only a five-team conference, I'll tell you, as a coach, from a scheduling standpoint, it's a pain. Because you're trying to schedule so many out-of-conference games. And, you know, your other conference members have, you know, they're in the conference play, and sometimes you're still playing non-conference games up into week six and week seven, and it's hard to find opponents. So you really have to, you know, work hard and work with your AD and network with other coaches to try to get, you know, enough games in so, you know, you can make some money and, you know, do what you need to do in order to have a good season.
You're so right about that. I mean, it's sometimes you're going to have some gate killers because of that. To me, the best gates are usually within conference, and there are some exceptions to the rule, like A.L. Brown and Concord last 4 years when Brown was 4A and Concord is 3A, but a lot of times it's gate killers. Now, in this conference right here, I think I'm pretty sane on this. I think Page and Northwest Guilford will duke it out. The Page head football coach, Kevin Gillespie, ended up going down to Asheboro, and I wish him the best on that. And the Northwest Guilford coach, I think is Rolfs, Coach Rolfs, ended up going to Page.
Yeah.
And I'm taking those two teams to the top two. Who would you like in that conference between those two?
You know, late coaching changes for both the top two teams, in my opinion. Page lost a lot from that team that made the title game last year. But you would say Northwest Guilford, but their coach now is at Page. So it's a really, really tough decision here. I like Northwest Guilford's receiver, Trey Turner, who's a Virginia Tech commit. But Page has the great linebacker in Alan Tisdale. So I think talent-wise, they're both even. When those two teams match up, you know, both teams, well, especially Northwest Guilford, will be motivated to try to beat their old coach. They came down to Myers Park last year and gave Myers Park a pretty good game in the first round of the playoffs. But like I said, you got to go with the proven team until proven otherwise. So I'm going to go with Page over Northwest Guilford, but I think that's going to be a really good game.
I was going to say, you made a lot of Pirate fans happy about that.
Well, I did hear that, you know, they did have some success against Vance in the Jamboree the other night. And, you know, Vance is king. I'm going to leave it at that. I won't get into anything else about that. But you look at the other three teams, a bit of a rebuilding thing. You look at Grimsley, out of those three teams, them, High Point Central, and Ragsdale, I think they probably had the best chance at being number three. But you might end up with a tie behind Northwest Guilford and Page.
Right. I think Ragsdale might be a little bit under the eight ball because, if I remember correctly, their head football coach ended up leaving, I think it was around June or so. So I think they have a new head coach also. So three of the programs have new head coaches. Grimsley, I think they probably would be third best. High Point Central, for whatever reason, I don't know what's going on there. It's that used to be a very proud football team. Team that would challenge. I mean, they won a two-way state title back in the late 90s. Believe it or not, my alma mater, North Stanley, was in the Central Carolina Conference with High Point Central, and that was back when High Point Central's numbers were really low, and then they all of a sudden became a 4A, and Andrews became a 2A. But High Point Central's got some they have some history with that program. I would love to have another team in there, like a sixth team. I wish Southwest Guilford had not gone down to 3A. I think they would make a good fit for this conference, but it is what it is on that. So, this is Jim West, and with me is Matt Morrow. We're talking about the high school football scene for the 4A for 2017 across the Tar Heel States. And, Matt, let's stay in this region. Let's go to the 4A Central Piedmont Conference. This is basically Davie County and some Forsyth schools. I've heard a lot of hype. Actually, I don't know if it's hype or if it's truth or what, but West Forsyth is what I'm hearing the most of out of this conference. I'm going to pick West Forsyth to win this. Am I sane or insane?
No, you're very sane on that pick. A lot of people have liked West Forsyth. They proved themselves in the playoffs. To me, last year, they went into Lake Norman. A lot of people liked Lake Norman to win that game, but they went into Lake Norman and beat them pretty handily. And you talk about West Forsyth, you got to mention K.J. Henry, the five-star DN prospect who also plays some offense at tight end and wide receiver. Haven't seen this kid play. He's a specimen. I mean, big, tall, long, athletic, really quick off the ball. He's got the strength to match it. In our offense, he can high point the football really well. They put him on the outside in jump ball situations. He can come down and go get it. But that whole team is well coached by Adrian Snow, who was also at Watauga in the past and had success there. They're definitely the favorite here. But you can't count out East Forsyth, of course, with their, championship type of pedigree that they've had. They've gone deep in the playoffs the past few years. Davie County's coming off a really good year, even though their coach left and went to West Caldwell. They're going to have a talented team. And even Glenn. Glenn was really strong, especially on offense. I know their coordinator left, and he's now at West Forsyth. But you still got a team there with some talent that can pull an upset as well.
I agree. I had Glenn at number four. Between Davie County and East Forsyth, I could go either way on those two. I think both of these teams got their strengths and weaknesses. I do like the Davie County. They have a pretty good receiver group, and also I like their defense. East Forsyth, they have their quarterback return. Got to replace a couple of running backs and about three good receivers. And defense, I don't know if they're going to be quite as strong, but still, that's a good team. I mean, it's not like they're going to rebuild. They're going to reload, and they definitely have that program going on. Ronald Reagan High School, they've had a couple of lean years. They had trouble moving the ball last year, and I don't know if they're going to do much more than 3-8. And R.J. Reynolds, you just don't see much out of them anymore. They seem like they're going 1-10. And this is a program back in the 60s. They would win a state championship. I believe they won it in 61. For those Reagan fans and R.J. Reynolds fans, you got anything to say to them?
Well, I'll tell you about R.J. Reynolds, man. They played very well in 7-on-7 this summer. And, it's not real football, but when you've been down and you start having a little bit of success, they give you some confidence. And I'm sure that they feel like, you know, they're going to turn things around this year and then possibly sneak into playoffs. So, you know, I'll be interested to see how they start going when the, you know, the pads come on this Friday night. And then with Reagan, you know, Reagan was really good for a couple years. Their offense was really cooking. And I remember they had some fans on the site. And they were coming down to play Rocky River, and they said they were going to introduce Charlotte to offensive football. And, you know, they ended up losing. And ever since then, I haven't heard much from them. So, you know, hopefully they can get it going back again. But the last time I saw them, you know, they kind of looked like they kind of had a talent drain a bit. And sometimes you got to take time and redevelop that JV to keep that feed going. Up to your varsity. And I think that's what kind of happened to Reagan there. But hopefully they can get it going back in the right direction.
I hope so, too. And I was going to say, if they were going to teach the Charlotte guys how to do about some offensive football, I guess Coach Hales and Coach Palmieri must have been there, because they got two of the best offenses I've seen around. So. Anyway.
Yeah, that didn't go too well.
This is Jim West and Matt Morrow. We're with Carolina Varsity having a good old time talking about some 4A football. Matt, we're going to skip over to the Wake County area, the greater Wake County. I think we've got, I think it's 22 teams in Wake County, two 4A teams in Durham. Then we have Corinth Holders, which is right outside, I believe, in Johnston County. So you got four conferences and 25 teams. First conference I want to talk about is the South Wake Conference. This is a conference, you got three Apex teams. You got Friendship, you got Apex and Middle Creek. You got also Fuquay, Verena, and Holly Springs, and you also have Garner. And in this conference, I'm going with Middle Creek. I think they're probably right around the top, you know, around 10 to 12 in the state this year. What's your feelings about Middle Creek?
Well, you know, I watched them last year when they played Wake Forest, and that was an excellent game, by the way. You know, they run the spread, you know, like most teams do now. But my concern with Middle Creek was up front, you know, they didn't look that big. And, you know, when you get down to it, if you're going to compete at the highest levels of the 4A, you got to have those big boys to really kind of push you over the top. In the conference, I tell you, I actually like Garner. And I know that's a little bit of Garner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Garner to win the conference. I know they're young, but, you know, they've got tradition, and I listen to their coach talk about that team, and I'm really impressed with, you know, the things he said. Middle Creek's very talented. They'll be very good. But I know it's a little bit of an upset pick, but I like Garner because at the end of the day, Garner's physical. And, you know, I think a physical team, you know, at the end of the day is going to win it, you know, win when you need them to win, especially when you get in the conference play, the weather gets a little cold. And, you know, that physical play kind of, you know, rises to the top.
That's a very good point on that. I believe Garner ended up going to the state championship game against Page, I believe, in 2011. I think Page won that game, and Garner's been there. They have a program that back in 1987, they always say what head football coach in North Carolina causes Tom Knotts to have the most nightmares, and that would be Anthony Barber, who's now the head football coach at Jordan. He was the running back that ran all over Harding back in 87. I say this because Matt is a great fella, and he's also a Harding grad. So he's laughing at me right now. Matt, let me ask you this. How do you think Fuquay and Verena?
just real quick. Y'all can find that game on YouTube, by the way. If you just search Garner versus Harding 1987, you can look it up.
I always laugh. Coach Stewart, he was the head football coach at the time, and he gave a big old speech, and he was calling the Harding guys a bunch of city slickers. And he's saying, we're nothing but a bunch of Gardner rednecks. They're overlooking us rednecks. And I was looking around, and I was like, you know, Gardner and Harding's probably, I don't know which one to be city and which one to be country. I guess back then Gardner was more country. Now if you look at Gardner, it's just an extension of Raleigh, but it was a good speech. I've seen that video, and I saw a young Tom Knotts on the sideline too. How do you think Fuqua Verena, how do you think they're going to match up with Middle Creek and Gardner?
You know, I don't think they've got exactly what you need to pull those two down. You're going to need to be athletic, and I don't think they have the athletes or enough in number to put a scare into those two teams. Out of the remaining teams there, I know someone on the site today actually was talking about Apex Friendship, and I know they're a newer school, but they said you know, they could be a team that surprises out of that group there. You know, we talked in the past a little bit about Apex and how they've kind of gone down with the expansion of other teams. Other schools being built in the area has kind of hurt their program overall. And then Holly Springs has always kind of been down, right? They haven't really made a big splash in that area either.
And, you know, it's a different atmosphere up there. It's like I live in Hillsborough, right near Chapel Hill, and there's pockets of football culture like Wake Forest and Gardner, and there's a little bit of area like down in the Apex Middle Creek area. Middle Creek is basically where close to where my folks live, and but you know, a lot of places, soccer is a bigger sport, basketball is a bigger sport. A lot of places they like hockey better than they do football. It's just a different mentality there. You know, I think you got two really good teams in Gardner and Middle Creek. Fuqua is probably a little bit behind, and you're going to have, you know, Friendship might be the fourth best team this year. Who knows in this conference?
I don't agree with you on that.
Okay. I think I like Friendship. I think this is what they're going to be their second year. This is the first year they're going to have seniors on their team, so it should be interesting. Now, staying in that general area, we're going to go inside the Beltline this time. You got six traditional teams plus Cardinal Gibbons, the parochial team. I think this is going to be a pretty good conference, to be honest with you. There's a couple teams, I think Enloe and Broughton are going to have trouble winning games, but a lot of people are talking about Sanderson winning this conference. Who do you take in this conference?
I like Cardinal Gibbons. And, you know, I really like their offense. They're losing their quarterback, who was a really good player last year. He was actually on the underrated list that we had after the season as far as recruiting goes. But, you know, I keep going back to it. You got to prove it to be put on the pedestal. And Cardinal Gibbons has done that. They run a really nice version of the spread. Their defense will come up and hit you. They play well in space, which is what you need to compete these days. And Sanderson, you know, they kind of meet that same deal with, you know, there's a lot of hype behind them. But what have they done in the past? And can they get over the hump this year? Oh, most definitely. I think, you know, when Cardinal Gibbons, you know, has to rebuild a little bit, their door is open. But right now, I like them over Sanderson. And you look at the other teams, you take Enloe and Broughton out of it, like you said. Leesville Road has always kind of been, you know, kind of middle of the road. I've seen them a couple of times in the past. And I want your input on that. What do you think some of those other teams have to do to kind of push towards the top of the conference?
Well, I'm glad you said about Cardinal Gibbons. I also had him number one. I love their running backs. Golly, they're great. Got two great running backs. Sanderson, to me, is number two. And then I'm going with Millbrook. I think they got a pretty good senior class coming up. I think they're a little bit better than Leesville and Southeast Raleigh. Although I saw Southeast Raleigh play in a 7-on-7. They're going to be a little bit inexperienced, but I'm going to tell you what, they have some athletes on there. I think it's almost a coin flip between Leesville Road and Southeast Raleigh for 4 and 5. You know, this is going to be a fun year inside the Beltline. And I'm hoping to see some of these games. I went saw Cardinal Gibbons play Southern Durham last year with Fred Gailey, and I'll be honest with you, I thought Cardinal Gibbons was one of the best teams I saw last year. They had a classic game with Hillside where they basically had Hillside defeated, and Hillside had a return to touchdown, kickoff for a touchdown, and won the game. And Colonel Gibbons was it was like watching another Charlotte Catholics team. Very well defensively, good techniques.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not scared of anybody, and it's a fun team now. This is Jim West, and with me is Matt Morrow, and we're talking all about the 4A scene across the state. And now, Matt, I'm going to go to a conference that a lot of people don't talk much about, and it's a little bit of a weird conference because this is the first time any Durham schools have been with any of the Raleigh school or Wake County schools in about 30 years in a 4A conference. It's for a long time there used to be kind of like it's like the Great Wall of China was between that grew up right between Durham and Wake County. You got Riverside and Jordan. They're joining Green Hope, Athens Drive, Panther Creek, and Cary. I'm going with David Green's team at Green Hope. I think their offense is going to be better. I think David Green, he's hard to go against his category. I'm going to give him just the slightest edge over my buddy Corey Lee's Riverside team. What's your thoughts about that?
Well, I like Green Hope, and I'm going to tell you why. They got a difference maker, and that's Jordan Adams, the great wide receiver that's going to Carolina. I know he transferred in, and, Green Hope has been an average to decent team. But when you get a player of that caliber and you can feature him in the offense, in a conference like this that's kind of, you don't really have anyone that's dominating, that kind of factor can put you over the top. And I like them as well, like you said, over the other teams here.
Yeah, I think Riverside, I'm a big fan of Corey Lee. Actually, I met his dad a few years ago over at a Cedar Ridge game, and he's got a great family, just a good old guy. He used to be the Northern Vance coach and ended up going to Riverside, and very, very good, very cerebral guy. He knows how to build a program. He's got his coaches in place, and Riverside, they went to a state championship game, I guess it's been about 6-7 years ago, and I could see a guy like Corey Lee leading them back to the promised land. And number three, I got to go with Jordan. I like Anthony Barber's team. I saw them in the 7-on-7, and I'm going to be honest with you, they got some talent on that team. What's your feel about Jordan maybe being number three over Athens? I had Athens Drive at number four.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And, Jordan's actually coming down to Charlotte this week, and they're going to play North Meck in a really interesting game. that's a long drive for week one. And, it's kind of – you go on the road, it's kind of a playoff feel. And, that'll be pretty cool to see. But I agree with you. Barber's definitely got the pedigree to lead the guys. And, the other teams with Athens Drive, Cary, and Green Hope, I really don't see it from those guys. So, I agree with you on that.
I had Athens Drive at four, Panther Creek at five. Panther Creek is not that far from me over in the kind of going towards Cary. Then Cary, number six. I think Cary's going to be better next year, but I think they're running the numbers game. I think sometimes it's hard to – you might have a very good starting lineup, but after you get a couple of nicks and bruises and sprained ankles here and there, you kind of drop off,
Yeah.
So, this is Jim West, and with me is Matt Morrow. We're talking about the 4A scene in North Carolina. A lot of conferences we've already gone through, the 1A, 2A, and 3A earlier on this week. The last 4A conference in the Wake County area is the Northern Athletic Conference. And a lot of people are saying the Wake Forest, that they think they're going to win a state championship. The only question is they don't know if it's going to be a 4A or if it's going to be a 4AA. What's your thoughts about Wake Forest this coming season?
Well, you know, anytime you win a state title, you've definitely proven yourself. And, you know, Coach Lucas and his guys, you know, they've been there several times. They took some lumps from, you know, some teams in Mecklenburg County in the championship game before. But it's kind of like, you know, the old NBA where you kind of kept knocking on the door, and you finally broke through. Well, that's what they did last year. And now, you know, you have to give them the credit and the respect they deserve. And, you know, they went out and they played well in 7-on-7. They won big 7-on-7 tournament. You know, the knock on them was, you know, defending the pass and throwing the football. And to their credit, they went out and they got better at that. And that, you know, helped them win, you know, a state title. But, you know, they're still going to be known for that run game and punishing defense. And, you know, I think you're going to see the same thing this year from those guys. And you look at this conference and, you know, I don't see anyone in here that's going to, you know, really give them a challenge. You know, it's theirs to lose. Even barring injury, you know, they've got the depth and they got the talent. And, you know, I think that they're going to run away with it.
I agree. I think the fight to me is not even for number two. I think Heritage is a solid number two in this conference. Good quarterback returns, good couple of rushers coming back. You got some receivers that need to be replaced, but I think Heritage is probably a top 10 team. After that, I'm going to say Wakefield 3 and Roseville 4th. You got any thoughts about that?
To be honest with you, man, I really don't. I'll defer to your knowledge on these teams. I really don't have much to add there.
I understand. I like truthfulness. It's you know, sometimes it's hard. There are 377 teams that play in the North Carolina High School Athletic Association play football. You got another about 28 to 30 schools that there might be charter schools that do not play football, don't have football teams, and it's hard to see all these schools. Some people's like, oh, you never seen us. Well, I can only be a certain place every so often. You know, I can only see maybe 16 games the whole season. You know, it's hard to drive around. I had Wakefield at 3, Roseville at 4. Corinth Holders, I think they're moving from 3A to 4A. I think they're going to have some. I think they're going to have to take some lumps this year. And Knightdale, number 6. I just don't see them winning a conference game. Said they might be Corinth Holders. It's going to be kind of a tough sledding for Knightdale. Now, Matt, we're going to go to one of your area conferences. Actually, we're going to go ahead and probably do the one that you probably like the best. I'm just going to take a guess on this. The Southern Mech 7. I think you got 4 or 5 teams that could win this conference. Who do you like? Let me ask you this. Do you think the winner of this conference will lose a game in conference play?
Yes, I do. You know, this conference is so wide open. And, you know, after we saw some teams and scrimmages and we got, you know, some notes and scouting reports and such, it didn't really help.
Right.
You know, I think every team in this conference has something they can work on. To pick a winner, I tell you, it's going to surprise some people. They were picked 6th in the observer poll, but I really like what Olympic did Friday night in the CarolinaVarsity.com Jamboree. They held their own with Myers Park, who's going to be a top team. And, you know, I put Dylan Ernie, their quarterback, at number 1 in my quarterback rankings for the Charlotte Conference's best to last. They're a sleeper. You know, South Mech has a lot of good size, but, you know, they're lacking numbers. You know, Harding has a bunch of great talent, but the same thing, numbers. Can they sustain for 4 quarters? West Mech has the Brown brothers on offense, Diami and Coffrey. They got improved defense. They had some bright spots against Gaffney, but, you know, they struggled a little bit on offense. And then size-wise, they're having some trouble on the lines also. So, you know, if I had to pick somebody, I would go South Mech right now.
South Mech.
Yeah, just because I like their size, they've got a back that can make a difference, and Harding has the same thing. They've got the size, they got a back that can make difference, but, you know, Southmick has a little more experience at winning the big games. Harding is still in that place of learning how to win consistently. But it would not shock me if they won it, if Southmick won it, if Westmick won it, or if Olympic won it. Providence, I think, is just a tad below those four. Ardrickill, I think they're in transition with Coach Bray coming in year one. And then Barry is still building, but they're going to be better this year.
I agree with you. For those that don't know this, Ardrickill's head football coach is the son of Mike Bray, the Notre Dame basketball coach. Used to be an assistant coach at Duke University back in the, I guess it was in the late 80s, early 90s. So he a pretty good pedigree, different sport, but good pedigree. I'm going to tell you right now, Matt, though, I've heard arguments about Westmack winning this. When I did my way too early conference stuff, I had Westmack winning it, had Southmack at two, and I actually thought Olympic was three. I'm a Jason Fowler fan. I like him. Harding,
yeah.
You know, that's the one we're talking about teams that, you know, talk about getting a little bit hyped up, you know. I think Harding's the real deal. I think there's a little bit of hype, and I think there's a lot of potential there. And I'm kind of waffling between those, but I think any of those four teams could win it. This is going to be a fun conference.
Yeah, it is. And, it's going to be really fun to watch them all year. The thing with Westmack that surprised me was the size. I thought they had a little more size up front. You know, when they get to the teams like Harding who beat them last year, and they like to pound and grind on you, I think they might have a little bit of trouble sustaining that for four quarters. But, yeah, it's a really fun league. I think they're all going to beat up on each other.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, size does matter. It does matter on football. That is so important in the trenches to be able to knock somebody off the line of scrimmage and just control that. It's going to be a really fun conference, and I hope we're going to see some really good gates this year. I want everybody that goes to one of these schools to support their teams, because I'm going to tell you right now, Olympic was one of the best places I've watched a football game in a while. That was a beautiful stadium, and people were so nice. This is Jim West and Matt Morrow. We're with Carolina Varsity, and let's go ahead and talk about the IMAC. I know a lot of people are dying to hear about this conference. I got Mallard Creek at one and Vance at two. Am I sane or insane?
You're very sane, Jim. You know, we were talking earlier. Me and Dale were actually talking earlier. And, you know, you haven't heard much coming from Mallard Creek. And, you know, I think last year a lot of the hype and publicity they got might have hurt them a little bit overall as a team. So I think this year they kind of vowed to just kind of stay together and kind of do their thing in silence and let the pads talk for them. But
right.
They've got some people coming up, especially on offense, that you don't know necessarily just yet. But I think starting Thursday night, people are going to start learning who's going to step up for this team on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, I really like them. They've got a really good D lineman, Jordan Davis and Charles Johnson, both D tackles that are going to eat up things in the middle, and Angel Rivera, DN, that does a good job. Two really good linebackers in Kalen Allen, Cameron Lowry. And that front seven is really going to be tough to do things against. You look at Vance, then they've got tons of talent. They got a dynamic duo of running backs in Kevin Allen and DJ Williams. Their defense is going to be led by Demir Faison, a great defensive end, and Gerald Nathan, a dynamic linebacker. Those two, I definitely agree with you, are the top of this league.
Now, we're going to play again, the sane and the insane. I'm kind of waffling between waffling. I can't even speak right now. Long day, Matt. I'm getting old. Between Lake Norman and Huff. Right now, from what I kind of my gut feeling is, Lake Norman might be the third best team in this conference. Am I sane or insane on that one?
you're saying, and you stole my thunder.
Oh, well, let me back up. I didn't say anything. You can tell me why you think Blade Runner was third then.
And I think you put it best when you said the best team between those two. Lake Norman has a dynamic playmaker in Cole Jackson, but the sum of their parts, I think, is a little better than Huff at this point. And I say this point because Huff is very talented, but they had a late coaching change. And, you know, Lake Norman has stability with Coach McNulty being there for so long. And I think it's going to take Coach Jenkins and his staff a little bit of time to tune that talent into the way they want them to flow. So right now I like Lake Norman a little better than Huff, and that's going to surprise some people because you've seen Huff ranked in a few different polls across the state. But the sum of the parts at Lake Norman I think is a little better right now.
Okay. Now I want you to – we're going to play a crystal ball game here. I want you to look in your crystal ball, and I'm looking into mine right now too. I see two teams I can't sort between five and six. They're North Mac – and it's Mooresville. What does your crystal ball say about those two teams?
North Mac's ahead of Mooresville. That's very clear to me. And the reason is Eric Mormon's come in from West Stanley, and, you know, there's a lot of excitement up there. They've got talent with Emmanuel Wilson at running back, Dantavian Byrd playing linebacker and H-back, Jatavian Gray on the offensive line. You know, North Mac has been a team with a lot of talent, but they haven't always maximized it. But Coach Mormon's a young coach. He connects, and his staff connects with those kids well. You know, I wouldn't be surprised that, you know, later on in the season they put a scare in the, you know, some of these top teams in this conference.
I agree with you. And, you know, finishing out the this conference, you got Hopewell and West Charlotte. I'm taking West Charlotte at 7, Hopewell at 8. You see either one of these teams making any noise this year?
Hopewell, unfortunately, is in a rebuilding situation. They got a new coach in Quinn Martin late this summer. He was brought in to be offensive coordinator, but they elevated him to be the head coach. And, you know, they're going to work to build their JV up, which is how you, you know, you rebuild ideally. Build your JV up, keep your young kids together, and kind of take your lumps on the varsity level. West Charlotte, I think they have potential. I think they've got some good guys on defense, especially at the linebacker position that are going to play well. They're going to have to rebuild on offense a little bit. They lost some talent there. But out of those two teams, I like West Charlotte better.
I'm same here. I will have to say, though, I'd love to go to a game over North Mag, maybe spend a couple hours over at that Burkdale place. That is a really nice area, but I don't think I could afford spending too much time there, but it'd be a lot of fun, to say the least. Great place, great company down that area. Going to go to the last conference in this area, and this is in the whole state, the 4A Southwestern Conference, I won't say saving the best for last, but saving one of the best for last. I like Butler and Myers Park, and I do like East Mech a lot in this conference. And I also like Porter Ridge. I like Hickory Ridge. I mean, I think you got five really good teams here. Tell me, looking at your crystal ball, who do you think wins this conference?
Based on, you know, what I saw Friday night, we both saw Butler and Myers Park in action. Man, Butler looks good, and I like them to win the conference. You know, we were concerned about, you know, the quarterback, and I went over there in the spring and talked to Coach Hale, and he didn't know who it was going to be. But they played two kids Friday night, and they both looked good. They really, you know, got the ball out their hands, made good decisions. And you look at Najee Peoples at running back, man, you know. I ranked them number 4 in my running back rankings for the 3 Charlotte conferences in the best to last, and he didn't look like a number 4 back.
And no.
I got told on Twitter that I had him too low. But,
yeah.
You know, he's
you've
a really
got so much talent
kid.
In the area, it's just hard to pick him sometimes, you know?
Oh, yeah. And I love the feedback. I love, you know, hearing that stuff. But he, you know, he wears number 32, and a lot of people say he looked like Ryan Houston out there. I mean, he was cutting and making good moves, reading well. He took a screen pass to the house for a touchdown. He can do it all. He's a great running back. And on that defense, led by Caleb Simmons in the middle, man, he was all over the field. He is a great linebacker. And you got kids like that, you got to pick them at the top. Myers Park, you know, they have a ton of talent, especially on offense. My goodness. Braden Hawkins, a quarterback. I know somebody on the forums said he looked like Brett Favre out there throwing the ball. And, you know, they go four wide and they spread you out and they throw it. And, you know, he's accurate and they make plays when they catch the ball. They're hard to bring down. And Robinson, the running back, number 22. I'll tell you, man, Kamal Howard, you know, is over there, but, you know, this kid Robinson is dynamic, man. He is a great spread back. He's quick. He can catch the ball. He's elusive. He cuts well. He's a very good running back. They've got a ton of talent on offense.
You're exactly right. Coach Chadwick has done a great job in Myers Park. I thought that he had one of the best 4A seasons last year of all the coaches. Really good good coach. And I will say my number three pick in this conference was East Meck, Barry Seaford, great fella. I talked to him for quite a while on Friday. Told me we were sharing stories. Just a really, really good fellow. I liked what East Meck did to get with Catholic. I thought that was I think East Meck's got a good team.
Yeah, the way they competed with Catholic, I think, opened some eyes a bit. You know, offensively, they got that sweep going with those guards pulling around. And Khalil Woods was number 42, and he showed he can fill the shoes of Kamal Howard leaving very well. And, you know, defensively, they got Darren Hart, who was formerly the coach at West Charlotte, leading the defense. And that defense was the thing that impressed me the most. You know, Catholic had to be methodical, and they hit two play-action passes for touchdowns. And, you know, in a scrimmage, you don't game plan. But otherwise, they did a good job stopping the run against a very good run team in Charlotte Catholic.
You got that right. Going 4, 5, and 6, I mean, I think the next three teams, Porter Ridge, Hickory Ridge, Independence, I'm kind of debating between Porter Ridge and Hickory Ridge with 4 and 5. And Independence, you know, they might be in that 4 or 5 range. Who do you have as 4th and 5th?
I like Hickory Ridge a little more than Porter Ridge right now. But, you know, both of these teams, when you look at them, I think fundamentally sound. I think execution, Hickory Ridge, I think, has a little more talent, natural talent, when you look at their offense and receiving core and their running back. I think they got a little more natural talent there that gives them the edge of a Porter Ridge. But they're both well-coached. Jason Seidel at Hickory Ridge, great guy. I love talking to him when I visited there. As well as their coaching staff there, they're a great group of guys, and they got some really good talent, especially with Jarrett Garner, who's committed to Duke at wide receiver. Porter Ridge with Grayson McCall back at quarterback. He's only a junior. He's a very good player. I think he's going to be really, really good. And that defense by Coach Mike Hurst is always in the right position at all times. Independence, led by Mike Natoli, is going to be better. Brad Van Horn, an offensive coordinator, they're going to be really organized in what they do. I like their scheme on offense. Defensively, Tylan Clawson at linebacker is a really good player. He's going to lead those guys as well.
And I've got Rocky River at 7 and Gehringer at 8. Want to see if I imagine you probably agree with that.
Yeah, I do agree. Gehringer is going to be really a lot better. Coach Jeff Caldwell, I visited with those guys. New attitude over there, more players out. They're a better organization, a better attitude. Tyrese Wilkes, you have to watch him on the outside. He's a good receiver. Rocky River, Coach Orlando Gray coming down from A.L. Brown. Young talent over there. It's going to take some time to develop it, but I do like them a little better right now than Gehringer.
I agree. Well, Matt, that covers all of the state of North Carolina for 4A, and believe it or not, we have about 45 seconds left. We're going to go ahead and end the show. Matt, thank you so much for helping this make be possible here. You are the heartbeat with the 4A football across the state of North Carolina. I do appreciate it. And what game are you going to watch? You going to watch the Mallard Creek Scotland game, I guess?
I will be there. I'll be there in person Thursday night. We'll be on Twitter at PetManCV. Follow for updates, big plays, and such. We can't stream it.
There, you can't stream it. That's right. Good. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening to us. Again, this is Jim West and Matt Morrow with Carolina Varsity. And thank you so much, and we hope you have a wonderful evening. Good night.